We are day three, the final day of the 50th annual Bassmaster Classic. It is Bass University time once again, bringing you the best bass fishermen in the world. I am Pat Renwick, the Dean, Pete Glusick, over there. And please, Bass Fishing University, all of you out there in the audience, hello, you, I'm talking to you. Give it up for the Dean, Pete Glusick. Come on, it's the Dean, Pete Glusick. He's here. He's here right now. He's here right now. And also, we are pretty stoked, if you cannot tell, to bring to you for the first time ever.
First Canadian ever?
Maybe the first Canadian ever.
Maybe the first Canadian ever to land on Bass U soil. Right now, give it up for Bassmaster Elite Series angler Jeff Gustafson. It's all gussy right here. Yeah, bro.
Yo.
That's how we do it.
Welcome.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me, guys. I wish I was fishing today, but came up a little short of a limit yesterday. Yeah. So I did catch the biggest bass of the day, so we're going to have a little bit of winnings out of
there
this.
It is. But, like that?
Sweet. How big was that?
7.3.
7.3. That's a
So that was my first nice fish of the day.
And that's a big.
You know, when you catch one of those, you're like, this is going to be a good day.
And it's my week.
It was just never was able to finish it off. But pretty awesome experience this week. It was my first classic.
Yeah,
and I'm tired today. It's a grinder, you know. It's
sure. You changed your interview from 10:30 to 11:30. Yeah. Rock star. So yeah. I don't know these bass and rock stars. I'll tell you.
Thanks for accommodating me.
Well, you tell us about that experience. I mean, it's your first classic. This is a pretty big deal, huh?
You know, like all of us that fish tournaments, it's obviously the dream to walk across that stage.
Yeah.
And for me, I mean, I've followed that stuff since I was 10 years old. I really have been in love with tournament fishing since I was a little kid, and I'm 37 now, so it took a while to get up there, but yeah, the whole week was pretty top notch.
Yeah, well, you guys have lit it up. I mean, you know, first of all, first question, like, we got the Canadians that are coming down and making names. Do you think it's fair that the Johnston brothers share information?
They have a huge advantage. I mean, they have a pretty deadly program the way, you know, because like
should include you, I think.
Well, this is the real truth. They're actually a Canadian experiment. They split one angler into two to come over to dominate the American fisherman. So he's in on this experiment. He just ain't talking about it. That's all.
No, so we typically stay together at all the tournaments. Mm-hmm. The two of them, Chris Grohl and Seth Fider. So we rent houses and we have a good time. It's a good group, but they are able to launch their boats, and one can go north and one can go south, and they share all their winnings, all their everything, and so it's a pretty good little program.
Heck,
and a unique system.
It,
you know,
sure is.
It's unique. We used to do it back in the club days. Our bass club used to share winnings, you know, information, and split it, and it worked out really good. I've never seen anybody do it professionally like that, except maybe the Hibdens. Or some family members
family
like
money.
That, you know. But
it's hard if you're not like if it's not family, you know, to really. But it, but like most of us have a buddy that we, you know, sort of talk to and share info with.
Absolutely,
and,
yep.
You know, like I talk to Seth quite a bit, and Carl Jacobson. He's another really good buddy of mine that I've made, and you know, we can tell each other stuff, and you know, go duplicate this. This is the stretch where I'm kind of finding some fish, and I know that like those two guys I'm not going to come around the corner in the tournament. Neither of them are going to be sitting on the on the spot.
Right.
You know, Seth's spot at St. Clair last year. Yeah. Like, I knew where it was, and he said if I'm still sitting there at noon on the last day, like, come check.
The best was when you ran over the fish.
No, that was Corey.
Oh, that was Corey. That's right. That was Corey.
Seth,
that was a dumb Corey move.
Seth and I were catching him every cast, and he's like, should we go get Corey or let him rot? And I'm like, I'll go get him. And I'm like, I run over there, and I'm like, just go pull up next to Seth. He's like catching a 5-pounder every cast. And he came firing over there, and drove right over top of them, and so then Seth had to wait like 7 minutes to get a bite again. That was the longest lull of the whole day.
Exactly,
I think.
That's hysterical.
Man. A lot of guys do sort of, you know, share and help out, and you know, it's a short practice for the Elite Series tournaments. You get 2.5 days, so you know it's easy to miss. You know, you fished a lot of tournaments. Some of them you you hit on the first day of practice, and it's an easy week for catching fish. And other times you just don't.
Never.
You know,
yeah, so. You go the whole week, hold through the tournament camp.
Yeah,
and these are big bodies of water.
You can fight it and work hard and all that, but I mean, it just sometimes it's just doesn't work. But
well, the Johnston brothers have done a lot. You know, they're people talk about them. They're going to be the first ones to win. And you ask them, they say you're going to be the first one to win.
No, we've had a few seconds the last couple of years, and Chris won at the Harris Chain event. But no, the Derby's on kind of to win one of the blue trophies between the three of us. I mean, we all want to. Yeah. I want to get one before they do. Classic, whatever.
Do.
Yeah,
and then you're just gonna let them know, aren't you?
Yeah, but no, they win, you know, like they fish to win. I probably am more conservative than them. To not bomb they're probably a little bit more fish to win mentality.
We're going to be watching. You know, it's great to see you guys out there. I'm glad we finally got a chance to get you on the show. We want all you guys in the Bass University. We want to see you in the classroom with us, but we got to get through that work visa thing. So
yeah, I'm working on that. So.
Canada, hook us up, man.
Yeah,
get us a release of some kind, you know, so we can have them down. But we're talking Bass University. We're going to drop some knowledge. One of the things, and we were talking about a little bit earlier, we saw this technique, this lure, and this technique really changed a lot of things in the last couple of years, and we're talking about hair jigs. Has been, you know, crushing them, been winning tournaments, been catching those fish that, you know, other techniques don't work as well. And this is a technique you know a lot about.
Yeah, so we're not talking about the big bucktail jigs,
right.
The Tennessee River bucktail jigs. We're talking tiny marabou jigs, black generally. And you know, we're using them for smallmouths up north. Anytime you got clear water and the fish are, you know, 12 or 14 feet and less, they're up shallow, milling around, and they're hard to catch. That's when these things shine. And I've caught more, you know, like hundreds of 4 and 5 pound smallmouths on little 16th and 3/32nd ounce marabou jigs than I have on anything else, for sure.
And you make your own?
I make my own. The whole, like, pattern as far as, like, in tournament use kind of started up where I live on Lake of the Woods. Some of the old school guides up there were, like, winning tournaments in the late 90s, and that's where they're plucking all these big smallmouths with hair jigs. And whether they're, you know, we have a lot of cabbage and different types of grass up there, and then boulders. And, it, I mean, when it's hot and sunny, those big smallmouths get shallow, but then they'll suspend, you know, next to a clump of weed. And or next to a boulder, and you can just, if you swim one of those little hair jigs in front of them, it's like an after dinner mint. It's one of those things that they just like can't. Yeah.
Yeah,
you just right in front of them, and it's just they slurp it up.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because that's the technique. We Seth Fider, by the way, gives a really great seminar on how to use this technique on Bass U TV. Go check it out. But the one of the things that he talked about, and you made me remember it, is it's about swimming it.
Yeah, you don't let it touch the bottom, really.
And that's unique.
And that's why you use these light jigs. And then it's the whole system. You know, you need the right rod. You need some 8-pound braid and fairly light line. And you know, a lot of the ones that you buy, the hooks are too big. They're actually too big, and then it just the jig just doesn't have that sexy swimming kind of action, you know, if the hook's big. But I usually use a number one little black gammy, little mushroom head, ball head. It doesn't really matter. And then, you know, I want to tie a nice fluffy jig, and when I'm tying them, I don't put any of the spines in. So, like, the lazy way to tie these jigs is just cut the end off the feather and tie it on there. But then you get the hard spines, and they're not as good. So I actually will, like, get really premium marabou, and it's like, and you rip all the long soft pieces off the spine and tie little clusters on, and it takes me like 10 or 15 minutes to make one, but mine are beautiful. Like, they're the nicest ones you could.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are they available? For me and to Pete, host, like
I give them
Pete,
to my buddies. Yeah. So, but
someday,
like
Pete.
Brent Ehler, you know, he's been always nice to me, like since I started fishing, and I gave him some several years ago, like when he was still fishing at FLW, right. And like every year I'll get a call from him, like, hey buddy, do you think you can like send me 6 or 8 of those hair jigs? Like, you don't really lose them that much, so. But he's like making his own now, I think, mm-hmm. And but no, like quite a few guys are using them, and I haven't fished a tour event where it's been like the magic weapon yet. Mm-hmm. But Chris Johnson just about won the St. Lawrence River Elite Tournament last year with a right. Marabou jig. He caught a lot of his fish on one, and right. he's basically sight fishing with it. And that was in late July, and. Or actually, that was in late August. We're going there this year in late July, so it'll probably be even better. There'll be more fish shallow.
Shallow, yeah.
But yeah, it's just it's a deadly. You know, you can make green pumpkin, white, any color will work. But like I've tried everything, and black is just matter whether I'm at Sturgeon Bay, at home on Lake of the Woods, on Lake Ontario, black's the ticket.
It's amazing that color, and I don't know why either, because I've had tremendous success on fishing for largemouth and smallmouth on. Straight black.
Yeah.
No flakes.
They love
no
it.
Nothing.
Yeah.
We complicated, I think. But hey, I want to ask you something real quick because I'm going to try this. I have to try tying these things now.
Yeah.
So you're using the size 1 gammy on the mushroom head. Like, what is that weight of that mushroom head? Like, what is that? Like?
So usually a 3/32 is the most universal size. Okay. I carry a 16th, and I use those a lot more at home.
Yeah.
When it's, like, that's pretty light. But if you're on the Great Lakes, you want a 3/32 or even an 1/8 ounce. Like, I'll use an 1/8 ounce if I want to get down in that, like, 10, 12, 14 foot. And that's about as deep as I ever really fished them. But I've used those and done well at St. Clair, you know, and if it's a little rougher out, and at Sturgeon Bay as well.
And how long are the actual strands of marabou that you're tying? Are they?
They're about like that. The pieces that I'm tying on my jig, and I'm gonna get the guys some jigs. So when everyone sees this, you're gonna get to see what they actually look like. We don't have one here today, but they're probably about 2 inches long.
Gotcha.
The,
okay.
The jigs, I make them a little bit longer than you know most of the ones that you can buy.
Mm-hmm.
So
they're not like those crazy bulky marabou jigs. They're just a basic three and a half inch strand of marabou with the premium without the spine.
Yep.
Gotcha.
I have some questions.
you got him.
Now, you're using marabou. Now, why not bear hair or other types of hair jigs?
Right.
Why marabou?
Tried it all. The marabou just gives it's so fluffy and kind of buoyant that it really, like, lets those jigs float along.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're fishing it, basically just picture that jig, like, doing this. So it's all about keeping a bow in your line, and you got to fish with it a little bit to like, and you should go somewhere where it works really well to learn how to use it, because otherwise you'll hate your life if you go somewhere where the fishing's tough and you're trying to whip these little tiny crappie jigs around.
But
where it works, like probably 2005, 2006, and you know until 2010, I always used to travel and fish that Sturgeon Bay Open. And there were some guys from up where I live that used to, like, light it up there, like top 5 every year.
Mm-hmm.
And the first year I went down there, I never even brought them with me. I just brought a bunch of tubes, and I'm going to go crack them on a tube, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
And these guys, and I know them well from home, they come and fish by us, and, like, they're catching, like, 8-1 over what we're doing. And I'm like, I couldn't figure out what they're doing. And then on the ride home, I'm like, oh, they're using hair jigs.
Yeah.
And the next year we went back, and it was unbelievable. Like, it gets busy there, like, with a lot of boats sort of packed in. If the fish are in this, you know, one bay, there'll be 100 boats in there. But, like, we literally, my buddy and I that I used to fish it with, we would go float through these groups of boats and literally catch bass, like, 10-1 over guys using tubes.
Oh.
And then the other thing that kind of happened there, the bottom got slimy and mossy. So it was hard to drag a tube or fish a little swimmer because
I've been in that situation.
Yeah, touch
a
the bottom.
Of times. Yeah.
So that hair jig, I mean, we wouldn't even cast them. Like, you'd fire it out there, just peel some line off, start drifting, and just don't let it hit the bottom and keep it off the bottom. And it's just like, took.
Oh,
took. Set the hook, and it's like, another 5-pounder. Yeah. Like, it was unbelievable.
Man.
And we used to, like, became buddies with a few guys that lived there. And we told them about it. They kept it quiet for a bit. And we used to drive the guys there nuts because they're, everyone's like, what in the – are these guys using? Yeah. And you know, the word's kind of out now. But, the other thing I do, and this is kind of a little technique secret.
Okay.
I get my jigs made with a little wire keeper on the shank. And I put about a 3/4, not quite an inch, half to 3/4 inch piece of plastic on the shank of the hook. Mm-hmm. And that gives it a little bit of body. And so that the jig doesn't look like a drowned rat. It keeps it kind of fluffy.
Right.
And then you can actually cast the jig twice as far just with that little bit of plastic on there. I think it just helps the marabou hold a little more water. Mm-hmm. And they're a lot easier to cast.
Yeah, that's an interesting, and there's no other trailer. There's no swimming tail. There's nothing.
No, don't put any, people sometimes, if they haven't used it, they want to put a little tail off the back of it. And it's you don't need that. That's not what this is. It's finesse. But it just helps you get it out there away from the boat. Because clear water is where it shines. So you got to get your bait out.
Sure.
So, moving into the rods part of it, we are using 7/6 light action rods.
Mm-hmm.
8-pound Power Pro and let her rip. 8-pound leader.
I was just going to ask the leader. 8-pound leader.
Yeah, I never use anything less than 8. Okay. You couldn't pay me to use. I don't carry 6 with me.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I've fished a lot of clear water, and especially on the Great Lakes, there's too many zebra mussels. I've tried to use 6, you just end up breaking stuff off more than you don't. I've never really seen a situation where I think I'd get more bites. But yeah.
Do you ever catch largemouth or target largemouth? May I say? I'm sure you catch them on
accident. I've caught them at Beaver Lake.
Okay.
I've caught some on it, but some of those Ozark Lakes, Table Rock, I've caught some, but I wouldn't tell you that it's there wasn't a better way to catch those fish.
I got you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But you can be done.
Something to play around with, yeah. Spotted bass, too. You think it would work for spots a little bit, but it's almost like spots need stuff moving more.
Right, right.
They seem to, if stuff's not moving enough, like the Damiki rig and that sort of thing, it'll work a little bit, but it's just never – I feel like there's always kind of a better way.
Gotcha.
What about deep? It works shallow. Why not heavy up? And try it in 30, 40.
Yeah,
water.
I mean, I to be honest, I haven't really done it a whole lot. I mean, I got buddies that they actually tie them up on little fly hooks, little straight shank hooks, and drop shot with them, and it works. But again, I don't know if it's better than.
Right.
But something that if people want to play around and experiment with, you could definitely do that. Right.
So the first task for our viewers is to go find a school of 30 and 40 smallmouth that are 5 pounds.
That's the litmus test.
And then throw this out there at them.
Yeah.
That's
so,
the first job.
Yeah. They got to be kind of shallow. That's where it shines. And when they're just in that kind of lazy,
funky,
a place like Sturgeon Bay maybe where the bottom gets kind of slimy. And I'm sure there's other places all over the Great Lakes where that happens. That's where it. It's been the ticket for me as well.
I'm really, it's messed up, Pat, is what it is, because we've talked with the greatest anglers in the world, and we're all these techniques that I don't use, and now I gotta use the hair jig now. I gotta get flat sides.
Gotta go get glide baits.
I gotta do the Alabama rigs.
Carl made us spend $500. Now we're going out and buy a bunch of jig material.
You're gonna make your own for this.
Yeah, I mean, geez, we got it bad, Bassio. We got it bad.
Yeah, but it's a great technique, and I appreciate you sharing it with us, and. We'll see. You got a few tournaments this year where it may play.
Absolutely. I've caught them pretty good on it at Champlain before, and I've caught them at St. Clair on it before. When I got to the St. Lawrence last year, I mean, I put my boat in 20-plus. I never went near the bank, so I didn't get in on that. But I certainly will keep that on us this year when we go there.
Yeah. It's cool how the fish get shallow there and other places, too.
Yep. But the small number one or one-aught hook, whatever you're comfortable with that long, light rod, I mean, you never lose them. When these things bite it, and I'm like the biggest smallmouth you can catch, and they'll be all hooked like right here, it's open water, so you can just let them
go.
Swim, chase them with the trolling motor, and you very rarely will you lose them on those things.
That's interesting, because I feel that way too, because some guys always want to oversize their hooks. it's not always the best solution.
No, especially with big smallmouths. It's just using the right rod. And G. Loomis makes a 7.6 like rod that's kind of designed for it.
Right.
And like the 901 or 902, and they're light, soft rods, and they're awesome for marabou jigs, for spy baits too.
Mm-hmm. Wow, it's a fascinating technique. You know, I'm going to look forward to using it. I'm on Champlain this year.
I feel like he's not. It's too finesse for this cat.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more of a square bill, flipstick kind of guy. But I will try it. Yeah.
Me and you would be good partners on the road because I've probably caught like 5 bass on a square bill in my life. And
I got John Cox to throw crankbaits.
Yeah,
that's me.
Yeah,
that was me.
And he wins.
I'm claiming it.
You know,
I'm claiming it. But no, I own 2 spinning rods now. And I do, and one of them is a lighter action one for things like I'm going to try and learn to fish some of these techniques you guys are teaching us.
Yeah.
Spy baits, hair jigs, the real light Ned rigs, things like that. I'm trying to expand my knowledge as a bass fisherman. That's what Bass U does. So it's wearing off on me, too. It is.
You know, you do have to kind of be able to do it all, you know,
especially
doing this stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
On the Elite Tour, you go to all different types of water.
Yeah, yeah.
And finesse fishing catches big ones. Ike has proved that a million times
absolutely.
Again. A lot of people are afraid to pick up that fairy wand, but that makes big money for sure.
Yeah.
And this is a technique that's going to do it.
Yeah.
What are you most looking forward to in this upcoming year?
Probably that up north swing at the end, the smallmouths. But, I mean, I'm staying down. Like, I'm not going to get home until, like, middle of April. But we got Chickamauga coming up next week.
Sweet.
So there's going to be giants there.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to Eufaula. That's pretty hot right now. I did well in a tournament there the last time I fished there. And then we got Santee Cooper. So that's going to be slugfest too. So, like, we're going to, other than the Sabine River, you know, we got Lake Fork after Santee, so we're gonna be catching some meat.
That's gonna be awesome to watch. I'm most looking forward to Santee, watching you guys fish that.
Yeah,
it's such a big, got so many big fish there.
I've never been there, and I, you know, it's gonna be, sounds like probably a little challenging on navigating and
that it is.
Know, but
tell you, you can relate. Up where we fish, we get those big 10-foot swells. Santee's the only place I've seen that water. That kind of water,
really,
really, big. Huh?
Yeah, and it's challenging to navigate because it's got standing timber everywhere. So you got to run the boat channels.
Yeah,
if you want, you don't have to, but I recommend it. You know, but
if I get off the boat channels, usually like I learned the hard way at Lake Fork and Rayburn. You don't, I just stay to the channels and idle if I get off them. Generally,
And
some of these guys just give her, like, they go for it. Yep. But I need my boat and motor to be, like, work.
Not that guy.
I like the guys with the attitude, if you don't see it, it's not there.
Yeah.
They just go.
Yeah.
But you know what it's like at Santee? Coming out of the St. Lawrence River where it meets Ontario, when you got a strong, heavy west wind blowing.
Yeah.
You ever do that?
Yeah.
It gets big and tall and real close together there. That's exactly what happens at the diversion canal on Santee.
Oh,
really?
The wind will, because the diversion canal hauls just like the St. Lawrence, and you got that wind against it, and you can't go straight. They're so close and so tall that you've got to zigzag to get
That's
yourself
scary.
Out of there.
Wow.
But you guys know how to do that stuff, you know. We're the big water experts.
Way to scare the guy about Santee.
Dude, I got a big Lund. Let her rip.
All right, through that thing.
Let her rip.
Just let her go. Well, hey. Thanks so much for being with us. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, thanks, Pat.
We hope to have you in the classroom, maybe get out on the water. We might do a Canadian tour.
Yes.
Jeff, on water stuff where we get up and we fish with some
You guys would have a blast.
Seth's spot. We'll go to Seth's spot over there on St. Clair and just jack him.
Clean it out.
Yeah.
I'm sure it got – I don't know if you could clean that out.
I know, right?
Actually.
Why
no,
did,
that was pretty incredible.
Why did you run over his spot?
That was Corey that ran over it. I just went over there to have – so, you know – he had the tournament won on the last day. I mean, he just had a dream couple of days there. So he told me in the morning, you know, if I'm still sitting there, because I was fishing a mile or two up from where he was, and if I'm still sitting there at noon, just come by there. So I did, and then I got to have a couple hours of of chaos and fun. And
I was so jealous of you guys, man. I don't know if you know. I was out there
watching all that.
And I was like, I was even saying to Seth, man, it's only a three, dude. Let me reel that one in. Just a three.
No, it should have been like, oh, it's just a five.
Yeah,
Let me reel that one in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, wish you best of luck. Thanks again.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Guys, we're going to have a lot more. We got a lot more people to talk to right here at Bass University TV.